Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Fan Evening Show here on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan, again, the Steelers grabbing Patrick Peterson via free agency. Much more about that at 93.7thefan.com. Our Jeff Hathorn's been on that throughout the course of the afternoon. He is also heading to Dayton tomorrow, where the Pitt Panthers are back in the NCAA tournament. It's been a while for Pitt since they have been able to play in March Madness, and they will take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. You can hear the game right here on 93.7 The Fan. And we are now joined, happy to be joined by Stefan Kreisnick. He covers the Mississippi State Bulldogs down in Starkville. I guess let's start with the team as a whole and what they did throughout the course of this year. Was this pretty much kind of expected that they would be sort of a fringe NCAA tournament team, that they live up to their expectations throughout the course of this year? Obviously a first-year head coach there as well, but are they kind of where most people sort of thought that this team was going to be come mid-March?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment. I mean, it's a fair assessment of where people, you know, in Mississippi State probably hoped they would be. I think, you know, nationally, when you look at it, a lot of people probably expected this team to be an NIT team. So in some sense, I guess they did, you know, exceed expectations. Because when you look at this roster, it's not, you know, the most talented roster. It's a pretty good year in the SEC, so it's a pretty daunting schedule, you know, for a first-year coach with that type of roster. And I think in some sense, you know, just making it to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2019 and only the second time in the last 13 or 14 years, it feels like it was a big win, you know, to get to this point for Mississippi State. So I think it's a fair assessment to say, you know, an SEC team exceeding some expectations probably was going to be, you know, a fringe tournament team. But I think there would have also been a lot of people in Starkville that said, hey, you know, getting to the NIT and getting some kind of postseason experience wouldn't have been the worst thing either.
Yeah, it sounds remarkably similar to the sort of the expectations on Pitt, where people thought here, hey, you get to the NIT, that's a pretty good year. Now you're in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, the coach there before Chris Jans was a guy that we know very, very well here in Pittsburgh. And Ben Howland had a couple of solid seasons, it seemed like, but never really was able to get Mississippi State over the top. Why has Chris Jans been more successful in his 1 year kind of straightening things out and getting them, I guess, on a better path now? What has allowed this team in general to kind of trend in the right direction with a first-year head coach?
Yeah, no, I like you guys bringing that up because, you know, I have a great deal of respect for Coach Howland and kind of what he did at Mississippi State. But I think, you know, what Chris Jans has done, you know, stepping in, is he's really brought a defensive mentality and a defensive approach that, you know, folks at Mississippi State haven't seen. I mean, Ben Howland's teams, you know, had good defense and iffy offense at times, but not defense in the way that Chris Jans is running this team right now. I mean, the cohesive team defense, you look at the, you know, all SEC teams that they hand out at the end of the year, you know, Mississippi State didn't have any player on the defensive team. You look at their defensive metrics. I mean, KenPom, they're number six in the nation in defensive efficiency. So as a team, you know, Chris Jans has really brought in a strong defensive unit, which has kind of, you know, helps make up for really poor shooting. I mean, they're the worst team in the nation when it comes to three-point shooting, but the defense has been so good and they've been able to create, you know, so many turnovers that it's helped create offense, you know, when needed in some transition games. So that's where Chris Jans has really come in, and that's where the team is significantly better from last year.
Stephon, what is it about their defense in particular that makes them so tough? I mean, you mentioned it where they are KenPom defensively. They're 10th in scoring defense in the country. I mean, Toulouse Smith seems like a big part of it at 6'11 in the middle, but it sounds like they play pretty good as a team on the defensive end. What is it about their defense in particular that gives teams trouble? Because offense has been the strength of the team that they're going to face tomorrow in Pitt, and so that makes for an intriguing matchup.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is you mentioned Tolu there, and obviously, you know, he kind of brings that presence inside. But I think where this defense is really good and probably a bit underrated is their guards, Deshaun Davis and Shaquille Moore, are really good defenders on the ball. And they could become really tough. You know, if you're running a high ball screen or something like that, you know, they have a quick way of getting around screens, really staying in front of their defender and making it tough to get to the paint. And then once you mentioned there, you know, when you get to the paint, it's really hard with a guy like Tolu Smith at 6'11 there in the middle. So I think that the guards probably don't get enough credit as they should. I think you probably see that, you know, across the nation. If guards aren't getting steals, they're probably not getting enough credit for what they do defensively. But State, you know, does a really good job of holding point guards and shooting guards up at the perimeter, really making life tough on them. And it's hard to, you know, it's hard to drive and kick against Mississippi State because, you know, they don't have to shift over much. Their guards can stay in front of the guy and really, you know, let the rest of the defense, you know, stay where they got to stay.
You mentioned Toulou Smith. Stephon, he is a guy that, you know, the last 2 years prior has put up pretty good numbers in the SEC, but this year obviously going to a different level in all SEC pick. What is it about his game that makes him such a tough matchup? Because Pitt right now has questions at the center position with their guy Federico, and obviously that becomes a massive strength of Mississippi State if he's not able to go against Toulou Smith, who's had just a great year. But what is it about Smith's game that makes him so tough?
Yeah, and I think when you look at his numbers last year, you know, he really battled a lot of injuries. So his numbers dip, and he's been healthy this year. And I think, you know, one thing that he does really good down to the post, he's an athletic guy, right? He's not the biggest guy. He's not going to, you know, jump over people and throw down dunks, but he's really patient, and then he really wears you down. I mean, he'll dribble down there as long as you let him. He knows how to pass out of double teams, which kind of helps. But, you know, he'll sit, and he'll let you, you know, jump for pump fakes. He'll turn, you know, one way and then score the other. I mean, he has a really good way of being patient down in the post and wearing down the team. And, you know, over the course of 40 minutes, that becomes pretty exhausting down there.
This is a team that in Mississippi State, it seems like, is it fair to say that they've been streaky? I mean, they started 11-0, then it looks like they lost 8 of 9. Are they starting to maybe streak despite that loss to Alabama in the SEC tournament? Are they maybe streaking in a positive direction? Is there a good sense on how this team is playing right now? And is there a sense down in Starkville that they could maybe be one of those teams that as a higher seed has the ability to maybe make a little bit of noise in the tournament?
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, this Mississippi State team and this Pitt team both, when you kind of look at the layout that they have of Iowa State and then potentially, you know, Xavier on the other side, there's a path for both these teams to, you know, make a sneaky run to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. And I think it kind of starts with the fact that what you mentioned there is, you know, State has been streaky and they, you know, they had that tough struggle in January of losing, you know, 8 of 9 games, and they got that breakthrough win in the Big 12 SEC Challenge against TCU. And ever since they got that, they've kind of been rolling and found a way to, you know, put together an NCAA, you know, tournament resume. And I think it kind of starts, you know, with the fact that, you know, the SEC grind is tough. And I think a lot of conferences will say the same. But, you know, in the SEC, Mississippi State really had a rough patch. But you look at their kind of resume as a whole, they went 12-1 in non-conference play. And they beat teams like Marquette and, you know, Utah and TCU. I mean, those are some pretty good non-conference wins. They went up to Minnesota and got a win early in the year. I know that's not, you know, the best team, but that's still a Big Ten, you know, road environment. So, you know, you kind of look at they went through a rough patch there in SEC, but when you look at the resume as a whole, like you said, when they get clicking at the right time and that defense is working, you know, it feels like they can beat almost anyone.
Stephon, man, appreciate it. Really appreciate you hopping on and giving us some insight of Mississippi State, and have fun covering the game tomorrow. Yeah. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on. Happy March Madness.
Yeah, you too, man. Thank you. That is Stephon Kreisnick. He covers Mississippi State for the Clarion Ledger down in Mississippi. Not a team that Pitt knows very much about. The last time that these two teams played was 2001. It was in a postseason as well. It was the NIT, the second round of the NIT that year. It was played here in Pittsburgh. Mississippi State won the game. Kind of a nondescript postseason there for the Pitt Panthers back in what was sort of the heyday, or the beginning of really the heyday of Pitt basketball. But that kind of, I think, kick-started. That was Julius Page's freshman year. J. Page's freshman year was That year they lost to Mississippi State in the second round of the NIT. And then, as we know, Pitt basketball with Ben Howland, who, you know, was Mississippi State's coach until this year. And he did some decent things, made one NCAA tournament in his time there, but really could just never get them to becoming an established NCAA team. And it is interesting to hear Stephon Kreisnik say that they are a group that a lot of people would have said coming into the year, if they make the NIT, that would be a pretty successful year for the program. Now they're in the tournament, and maybe expectations are a little bit higher. Boy, who does that sound like? Sounds like the Pitt Panthers. So two teams, I think, with very similar sort of expectations. Pitt obviously had a better year in their league with 14 wins. Mississippi State had 8 wins, but a lot of people are going to sit there and say that the SEC has the better league. I think we're going to find out how good the league is. Don't forget, a year ago, everybody said that the ACC wasn't that strong of a league. Well, then North Carolina went and did their thing. Now everyone's saying, well, you know, after that they were saying, well, maybe we were wrong about the ACC. Well, now everyone's saying, well, maybe the ACC's not as good as we think. Well, we're going to see what's going to happen. I think there's going to be an ACC team that makes a run. I think it's probably going to be Duke. I like the way that they're playing right now with the Filipowski kid. I mean, he's just absolutely tearing it up, I think, and I like the game that he plays. He was great against Pitt. I mean, he dominated Pitt. Let's call it what it is. Kyle Filipowski dominated Pitt. And he's only a freshman, and I think that they're going to be a team that can make a run. I also think that there's a chance, too, that you know, Alabama could get matched up with Virginia. Alabama could potentially get Maryland or West Virginia in the second round, then Virginia after that. That march for Alabama is tough. The committee did them zero favors with who they gave them as a path. They might be the best team, but I think they got the hardest path as a one seed in the bracket. And I have to wonder if when the committee puts this all together, if they don't look at things like the Alabama storyline this year and think, you know what, what's a good way to maybe get that team with that player and all that controversy out of the tournament? Let's maybe give them a harder run than we maybe normally would have. You might not think that committees think this way. It would not surprise me if that comes into play.
I was thinking the same thing.
If there are factors that come into play outside of just on the court, if they think, let's maybe make this a difficult path for the team that was sort of an issue for us off the court this year. And that is what they got. Now, look, Alabama could steamroll those teams. They have Brandon Miller, who's a sensational player. They could get to the Final Four. They could win the whole damn thing. They're that good. They beat this Mississippi State team in the SEC tournament by like 23 points. They beat them 72-49, I think, was the final in that. Mississippi State's going to be a challenge, but I like Pitt facing a team that has problems on the offensive end. To me, basketball, I want a team that can score more than a team that can defend. And I know there's going to be people that say you're an idiot for thinking that. You got to defend your way to championships. To me, though, I don't know. I like a team that can go get buckets in March. I like a team that can hit threes. And this Mississippi State team, they can defend the three-point line as well as just about anybody in the country. But you can only defend so much. If guys hit shots with hands in their faces, then, hey, they're going to win. And I think Pitt's going to have a chance to win because they can hit threes. They're going to have to hit threes, especially with the issues that they might have down low. They're going to need guys to step out. The way for them to keep up is by knocking down threes. I'm just excited that March is back, that March Madness is back for Pitt. Joel, I know you're a Penn State guy. I'm sure you're thrilled with it as well. I mean, two programs that have had their struggles here in the last decade when it comes to basketball to finally get themselves back in, have their programs going in the right direction. Obviously, we talk a lot more about Pitt here because, well, we're the flagship home. Plus, I kind of work for them as well. So there's that. But I'm happy. As somebody that grew up watching basketball, watching Pitt basketball in this region, it is great to actually be excited on March 13th about a Pitt basketball game. It's just nice to have it back.
And for Penn State, I mean, we were going to make it in 2020. That didn't happen.
Right. That's a good point.
It's kind of, I guess, a little redemption for that or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it's been since 2011, Penn State, since they made the tournament. So this is really good. Add in West Virginia as well.
Yep, absolutely. And Duquesne getting the CBI bid as well. They had a, you know, not a great year because they're not playing in the big tournament or the NIT, but getting to be in a postseason is a good thing, I think, for Duquesne as well. A lot of people have been talking recently about how, you know, down this area's basketball is, and it's good to see it start to trend up. And I think, too, if you look at the high school ranks, there's some really good players starting to come up in this region as well, and that's going to be a really good thing, I think, for the local programs if they can hold on. And, Jeff Capel's already been able to sign one local guy. He's trying to get a couple more that are in this area, and that could really, I think, propel Pitt and basketball in this region another step further. But a great job by Jeff Capel this year, a great job by this Pitt team. And, you know, again, I think they have a chance. Like we heard Stephon say it, that you know, the winner of this game could make a little bit of a run. Sweet 16, Elite Eight, they could be one of those high-seeded teams that makes a run. You never discount anything in March Madness. The one thing that I think is tough is that you got to play that extra game. You do get some time off, but you do have to play that extra game. And you got to go, what, Tuesday to Friday, which is better, I think. Normally it's Wednesday to Friday and Tuesday to Thursday. So you get an extra day here if you're this team. And I think if you're the winner of this game, and I think that could help whatever team wins in a major way when they get to Friday's game against Iowa State down in Greensboro, North Carolina. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to hop back in with some Steelers talk. If you have not heard the big news of the day, the Steelers bringing in Patrick Peterson. And we're going to jump back into that. They also lose Cam Sutton in the process. Sutton out, and in comes Patrick Peterson. I think it's sort of a changing of the guard, a turning of the page for the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you want to hop in with your thoughts on the deal, the line is always open. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. I'm Josh Rountree. It's the Fan Evening Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
That Patrick Peterson on the All Things Covered podcast. I found that clip very, very strange. He says he never spoke with anybody within the Steelers organization about his role here. Does that not come off very weird? I can't imagine a situation in which a three-time All-Pro, who still obviously feels like he has a lot to give, doesn't even talk to the team that he's going to finish his career with before agreeing to sign with them.
It is strange.
Now, I know that Mike Tomlin likes Patrick Peterson a lot. A few years ago, there were rumors going around that the Steelers were going to try to maybe make a play for him, that they needed to bolster their secondary and they needed a corner and that they were going to go after Patrick Peterson. I never would have thought that that relationship apparently is so mutually infatuated with one another that Peterson would essentially say, I'm going to sign on the dotted line without even talking about what I'm going to do for you. I mean, what is Peterson's endgame here now? This is very odd to me. And I said it earlier, I think it's a good move. I think the Steelers are still getting a player with some tread on the tires that can play at a high level, but I can't imagine such an accomplished player in this league going into free agency and saying, I'm going to sign with whatever team, but I have not spoken to them at all in this process. Is that not what he said in that clip, Joel? That he hadn't spoken to the Steelers about the deal?
Yeah, that's strange.
That is really odd. And I think kind of a red flag to me. Is he just coming here because it's a good defense, it's a good coach, it's perceived to be a good coach, but maybe he doesn't fully know what his role is? I mean, keep in mind, this is a place where there's been multiple players now that have come here and not been happy with their role once they've gotten here. They have one perception on what it's going to be, or they're flat out told by their claim that this is what their role is going to be. Doesn't really happen that way. We've seen it before.
Maybe he knows he's going to be a starter automatically on the team and that he's going to
is that not a good question? I mean, I don't think this is the case, but what if the Steelers don't want him to start? I mean, what if their plan is for him to be a backup? I don't think that's what this is. And I don't know that Patrick Peterson should have any inclination or any feeling that that's what this would be about, but how do you not have any conversations before you say, that's the team I'm joining? I mean, they're not going to craft their defense to Patrick Peterson. He's going to have to fit into their defense. I like that he said that. And he said, you know, the way they use guys, they put them in. It's not just, hey, you go to this side all game, you do your thing. That they don't just have one player travel all the time. But I heard that clip, and a lot of it, what he said was, okay, like it was pretty common, you know, Mike Tomlin, I love him, blah, 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 blah. But I haven't talked to them at all about my role. So how do the Steelers plan on using Patrick Peterson? I would assume he's CB1. He's the guy. He oftentimes will match up against the best wide receiver on the other team and try to blanket him. Just talking to some people that follow the Vikings a little bit more closely, sounds like a guy that in zone, pretty good. In man, not so good. But he did have 5 interceptions last year. I like that. I like that he is still a player that can get it done. PFF had his grade at over 80. But I cannot look past this quote from him saying that he did not speak to anybody within the Steelers board before deciding to go there. Now, there's the tampering or whatever. You're not allowed, technically, quote-unquote, to speak to teams. But this was after the legal tampering period had been opened by several hours when he signed. That opened at, what, noon? Sutton was gone at 12:30, and Peterson got signed at 5 o'clock, I think, somewhere around there that was announced. So he could have had conversations with the Steelers on how he intended to be used. Peterson is going to be 33. I have no doubt they are going to use him in a mentorship role. Joe Hayden played that somewhat in the later stages of his career. I think Peterson's probably, it seems like he's probably open to that, but I still think he wants to go out there and ball. I don't think he's taking a back seat to anybody, and so that's why it's very strange to me that he agrees to sign with the Steelers without talking to them about what they want from him. Could we be heading down another path? And again, I don't think this is the case, but could we be heading down another path where a player becomes disgruntled or disappointed because they feel like they're not being used in the way that they feel like they should be? I've never heard this before, of somebody saying that they are signing with a team without speaking to them. That doesn't seem like it's something that happens, but it did here. But Patrick Peterson's going to be a Steeler. He's going to have a role. We don't really seem to know what it is. He's going to be 33. That's concerning. I feel like I'm being negative towards the deal, but I promise you, I think it is a good move. But now I'm starting to backtrack a little bit. My initial thought was, hell yeah, splash move, free agency, finally, Omar Khan turning to the page. They're finally making a big move. They're changing the direction a little bit of how they do business. And now I'm sitting here wondering, was this maybe the right thing? Where is this going?
You would think he would know his role before agreeing to the contract, right?
I want to play this again because I want to make sure that I heard this correctly.
You know, I really don't know. Didn't have opportunity to speak with anyone in the organization, you know, just yet to really get a clear understanding what that would be. But
so he didn't speak with anyone in the organization to get an understanding on what his role is going to be. This is not a good thing. I think Peterson signing is a good thing. This part of it worries me greatly. Worries me a lot. And now I'm sitting here. I had my feet dug in. This was a great move, a great decision. And now I'm very, very concerned suddenly about it. He's a good player, though, man. 5 picks last year. Still can bring it. I like him. I think he's going to add something to their defense. I don't think this should keep them away from drafting a corner if that comes to fruition. But, I have some hesitations here with it. I think my bigger fear is that he's 33 and that even the most elite corners, the best corners we've seen, Revis, Woodson, I mean, even locally here, good corners like Hayden, they didn't really play corner at 33. Those first two guys, Revis and Hayden, they didn't play at 33. They were done after their 32 season. Rod Woodson moved to free safety. Let's get a call. We'll go to Monroeville. Jackson wants to talk about the Steelers. What's up, Jackson? Oh, hold on. There we go. Jackson, what's up, man?
How we doing, Josh? Good evening.
Good, good.
So you kind of actually just lobbed up the serve for me. I could see Patrick Peterson playing some time at free safety. I think he's, like you said, he's much better in zone. And free safety plays a lot more zone than man. And we've seen Minka function as a strong safety before. And Terrell Edmonds is not signed yet. Neither is DeMonte Casey. So maybe, just maybe, it's still, you know, first round corner, Wallace and Witherspoon, and Peterson's kind of a hybrid safety.
Yeah, here's the thing about that, though, Jackson. And again, this comes back to my point of why do they not have a conversation of his role? I can't imagine Patrick Peterson, and maybe you agree, maybe not, but I can't imagine Patrick Peterson coming to Pittsburgh to play safety. I think he wants to be a corner. I think his intention is to be a corner. And if their thought is he's going to be a safety and he wants to be a corner, this is a recipe for disaster suddenly. But it is kind of an odd thing.
I didn't see they didn't disclose any of the details of the signing, I don't think. So I'm curious to see if he got safety money, though.
Right.
I mean, quarterback one money we're seeing is $15 million a year. I'm sure he didn't get that. So
no, I don't think so either, and appreciate your call. We got to head to a break here in a minute, but I don't think he got that kind of money, but I do have some questions about this now. I don't think their intention is for Patrick Peterson to play safety. Could that be a plan B if things don't go well for him? Maybe. I don't think you want to move Minka Fitzpatrick around too much either. I think Minka Fitzpatrick can serve in multiple roles in that defense, but he was really good last year because he was able to get back to being who he is, and that's that center field type of player. I think Terrell Edmonds needs to be brought back too. I think they need to find a way to get him back in the fold. The money on the Patrick Peterson deal is intriguing to me. When that comes out, I want to see what that is too. But that question now has already been thrown out publicly. Could they be bringing him in to maybe just play safety? maybe he gives it a go in camp at corner. If they don't like what they're seeing, they slide him back. They move him around as that third sort of safety position. We saw them dabble with that a lot throughout the early parts of camp last year with DeMonte Casey and Edmonds and Fitzpatrick. Now maybe you put Peterson into that third safety role. But I don't know. I don't think you bring Patrick Peterson here and you have no conversations about his role and then he gets here and you say, oh, by the way, how do you feel about safety, Pat? I don't think that's a conversation and a strategy that you can have if you're the Steelers. It's weird, man. It's weird. We're going to be joined by Jeff Hathorn in about 20 minutes. He has been all over this Patrick Peterson deal or deal to come, I should say, because it's not official yet. We'll talk to him in about 20 minutes. Want to get your calls as well, 412-928-9370. What do you feel about Patrick Peterson? Do you like it? Do you like that he is coming in? I guess we got to see the money right in this, but right now it at least looks like Sutton out, Peterson in, and that's what the Steelers are going to do as far as addressing the cornerback position, at least before the draft in, what, a month and a half. Our Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep, Ram and Peters Township. You can visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. 412-928-9370 is the number. I'm Josh Rountree here on the Fan Evening Show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder... Start that again. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. I threw this out there on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. JROWN32 is my Twitter handle. Let's go to the fans page on Twitter. You can find it there as well. Said Patrick Peterson said that he didn't speak with anybody within the Steelers organization about his role before deciding to come to Pittsburgh. That seems a little strange, right? Good response. Craig says, maybe he looked at the depth chart and was like, yeah, I'm 32 and still 10 times better than anybody else. Guess I'm a starter. Well, good point by Craig. Nice point by Craig. Maybe a conversation wasn't even necessary. I still have some questions about that. I still just wonder why. I mean, one phone call like, hey, let's maybe talk about who I am, what you think of me, what you want me to do. I just want to make sure that I'm happy. Let's just cover all of our bases here and go from there. I don't agree with, I think it was Jackson who called in the last segment who said that they're going to move him to safety. I don't think that's going to happen unless something goes very, very, very wrong for Patrick Peterson's career. I don't think he's there yet, and I don't think he's probably open to that. But the Steelers do like to get a little goofy with their secondary. They like to move some guys around. They like to have them do a variety of things, and Peterson even said that. It's not you're labeled to this, you're labeled to that. I mean, look at Cam Sutton, a perfect example, a guy that was versatile. He can move around in different spots. Look at all the ways they used Mike Hilton. And again, these are guys that can play slot, and Patrick Peterson's not going to do that. But, you know, DeMonte Casey, they put in there as a third safety on the field at times. They do get a little bit creative at times. They have historically with their corners. And you're looking at a guy now who has said, and he said it today on his podcast, Patrick Peterson, that he intends on ending his career with the Steelers. 12 years in the league. He said he always wanted to play 14 years. And he said, well, as long as you know the term is right, I'm going to finish my career in Pittsburgh. Now, that happened to Joe Hayden. Things kind of soured at the end with Joe Hayden. I don't think he was particularly enamored with the organization, Hayden, when he made his way out of here. I think he still felt like he had more to give, and maybe they didn't feel like he had as much to give as he thought he did. I don't think there's a lot of ill will necessarily from Hayden, but I also know that this is a guy that made it a point to retire with the Cleveland Browns when they were playing the Steelers. Maybe not all that enamored with the folks in Pittsburgh after his career was over. Hey, we saw it happen to Troy Polamalu, one of the greatest ever here. There were very, very sour grapes there with the way that his career ended. He didn't feel like he was appreciated correctly or whatever you want to call it. He didn't like how his career ended. These guys are proud. They know their worth. They know their roles. Even if they're wrong, they think that they're not. They can never admit fault, and that's a good thing at times as a player because it allows you to block out a lot of negativity, but it also can make you hard-headed. Again, I don't want you to think that I am suggesting this is not the right move for the Steelers. I like Patrick Peterson. I thought they should have made a move for him years ago. I thought they should have given up more to get him years ago. They ended up getting him on, you know, not even the back nine. It's like the back three of his career probably. But I have some concerns. If they are truly trying to step in to this arena where they're going to say, well, we're going to line up Patrick Peterson and Levi Wallace, and that's our starting duo. I think you'll get production similar to what you had last year. If one of those guys gets hurt, you're in bad shape. I don't know that the Steelers can rely on Akella Witherspoon anymore. I think that he is a guy that, you know, can provide them a little bit of depth at the position, but if you're running Akella Witherspoon out there, if that's your plan, you might be in for some trouble. That's why I still think they go corner in the draft. Maybe at 17, maybe at 32, but one of those first two picks is going to be a corner. I have no doubts really about that. The first one I think is tackle, corner, one of the two. Then after that, whatever player they don't take there, that's who they take second. But I think that's where they go 1-2. The problem is they still have a lot of other needs, right? Inside linebackers, a definite need that I think we have kind of drastically as a collective here sort of overlooked. They really need a good inside linebacker. And I don't know that those, potentially with the money that they've given to Peterson, I don't know that there's going to be one out there that they can find in free agency for their price. Remember, a lot of people thought that they were going to have a Edmonds brother reunion with Tremaine Edmonds. Well, Tremaine Edmonds got a 4-year, $72 million deal with the Bears. The Steelers weren't going to come close to that. I mean, they were 4 years, $72 million, with $50 million guaranteed for Tremaine Edmonds. A good player, but not a player the Steelers would have ever given that kind of money to. Ever. They were never, ever going to give that kind of money to a Tremaine Edmonds. They have to fix that spot. They really need to add another defensive lineman. It is amazing to me that a defense worth $108 million last year has so many glaring holes in it a year later. That a year later we're saying, well, there's a question at safety because we don't know if Terrell Edmonds is going to be back. Really, they need to get two inside linebackers, whether that's, you know, bringing back Robert Spillane. Maybe you can rely on Mark Robinson stepping up, but ultimately, I think you got to get two, one in the draft and probably one via free agency. You had to get a corner, whether it was Sutton plus a draft pick. You got to get a defensive. I mean, there are more needs than what the Steelers have capabilities to fill. There are more holes than they have draft picks that can step in and play next year or free agent money that they could use and spend and bring a guy in. They are going to be short somewhere. And I think that's probably Omar Khan and Andy Weidel and Mike Tomlin's biggest challenge right now is trying to figure out where they can be short, where they can lack and still maybe get away with it. Corner, I don't think is one of those positions. And that's why they went and got Peterson. We're going to talk more about this when we come back as Jeff Hathorn's going to join us. It's almost time for us to feed the need with Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. On March 29th, our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon will be raising money to provide meals for our neighbors in need. Text NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155. That's 50155. Your donation will provide meals locally. Brought to you by Nemacolin, Spitzer Toyota, UPMC Life-Changing Medicine, and 84 Lumber. All the details at 937thefan.com. Jeff Hathorn coming up next to talk about this wild day for the Steelers. They make a splash in free agency. We'll talk to Jeff about that and more when we come back here on the Fan Evening Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.